I want us to think about being called by God. But I want to start by giving you a very brief version of my curriculum vitae, my CV. Born and brought up in a Baptist Christian family, my grandfather was an elder of Tabernacle Baptist Church, Penarth. My parents were in church leadership at Bethel Baptist Church, Whitchurch, Cardiff. I was baptised by immersion at 15 years of age, added to the membership of a Baptist church, a Sunday school teacher for most of the next 10 years, firstly at Bethel Whitchurch and then at Pantagwida, Swansea. I regularly read my Bible. I prayed and went to church. I was a deacon and church secretary at Belper Baptist Church in Derbyshire for 6 years, from the age of 25. I was happy and fulfilled as a structural geologist. And then God's call to begin another stage of the journey. I trained for Baptist ministry at Oxford, 11 years as minister of Highfield Baptist Church in Rushden, not far from here. That church quadrupled in membership in 10 years. 10 years later, I was director of pastoral training at Regent's Park College, and then for a further 10 years, principal of Cardiff Baptist College. And now, well, active retirement, although as I was discussing with Marion, Anno Domini does catch up on all of us. I've been greatly privileged. My Christian life has been an adventure. But without God's call, without God's presence, without God's guidance, without God's gifts and empowering, without obedience to God's will through placing my life in God's hands, without a willingness to learn the things of God from other people, and without God showing me where I was wrong and where I'm vulnerable to temptation, all of this adds up to nothing at all. You can have the most wonderful CV, but actually, without God's presence and guidance, it adds up to nothing at all. When he wrote to the Philippian church, Paul says, "Now look here. If others think they have reason to put their trust in their human credentials, I have far more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead." Well, that's what Paul said later on, but we've encountered Saul on a journey. He'd been successful. He was doing God's will, as the religious authorities saw it. He already had great understanding of the scriptures and the ways of God and of God's people. But in the midst of his life comes God's call to begin a new journey. Saul was on his way to fulfill God's will as he understood it. But then there is the encounter with the risen Christ. Now begins another journey, first in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and finally an extended period in Tarsus. This was a period of instruction from fellow Christians and a time waiting on God, listening to God's Spirit. So in the midst of one journey, there is the call to begin another one. Saul sets out from Jerusalem to Damascus. He's got his documents of accreditation. He's got his commendation from the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's going to do. And it's all in God's will, or at least it is as he understands it. And in the midst of his spiritual life and beliefs, in the midst of his service and ministry, Saul, you've got it wrong. How wrong can you be? Poor old Saul. He's convinced that he's doing God's will, whereas in fact, he is diametrically opposed to God's will. He is hunting down the Christians, and it is the risen Christ who says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The challenge now is to go God's way, to be called and commissioned in God's service, sharing the good news of Christ crucified and resurrected, not just with Jews, but with the Gentiles, those who were hated by the Jews, a very strange and a very uncomfortable call for Saul. Now he must learn from those who know about Christ, know the gospel, and he has 3 years of training and learning. He must wait on God as to what his future in ministry is to be. He's humbled and he has to depend on others. For those preparing for ministry, and I tried to do a rough count, I think I have prepared over 300 Anglican priests and Baptist ministers over the time in college. They're commended by their church, those who love them and know them and are delighted to see somebody from within their own congregation entering ministry. They'll have been interviewed, they'll have been commended by their church leaders, they'll have been commended by the bishop's advisory panel, who will have read sermon reports on them and read social reports on them and psychological reports on them. And finally, they'll be commended to a college. Have they arrived? Not yet, as I would tell my students. Their call has been confirmed. They've been accepted onto a course of training, but that's going to take upwards of 6 years. 6 years as a college student and a curate with testing at every stage of the way. It's a matter of keeping on learning. They've only just begun. When I sat my driving test for the third time, I was relieved to hear those comforting words. Mr. Weaver, I am pleased to tell you that you have passed. And then challenged by the examiner's next sentence, now you can begin to learn to drive. The same is true about all that we seek to do for God in the mission and ministry of the church. We continue to learn from the Holy Spirit, from our reflection on Scripture, in the light of our experience in the world, and from the experience of others. I had a great deal to learn when I went to theological college, new understanding and new experiences. And this learning process continued through college, through pastoral ministry, and through teaching, and includes all that I have learnt from church members. It's what I have learnt from new Christians. It's what I have learnt from non-Christians. It's what I have learnt from all those students I've helped to prepare for ministry over some 25 years. We never stop learning. If you take your order of service sheet, we will now share together in the special prayer for today, the collect for the third Sunday of Easter. Together we pray. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace to the glory of God the Father. Amen.